Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Absolutely fantastic. You've chosen The Advertising Show to hang out for just a little while. We're glad to hear that. With Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Jay Sears is our special guest, and we'll get into a little bit more about what Jay does, but I think specifically his title might tell you a whole bunch, okay? Jay is Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development at Context Web, creator of ASDAQ Online Advertising Exchange as well. So Jay's a busy guy. Living in New York, probably doesn't have a lot of time to play golf here with the lovely winter weather that they've been having there. But we'll get into a little bit more about not only Context Web, but also ASDAQ Online Advertising Exchange as well. So this is a good thing. We have, just a bunch of good stuff. Let's see. A few moments away, Patrick Meyer out of New York, our marketing insider. News on Martha Stewart coming up today. And Gene Blish a little bit later on. About the customer experience, and Gene is talking about drastic listening and how you should practice that. So many times we forget to listen to what folks have to say, specifically our clients. So this will be a good lesson today here with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Focus groups, we're not a real big believer of focus groups, Brad. But,
not really.
Brandweek.com, here's a new one. This is almost funny. Volvo equals safety. In focus group after focus group, participants say the same thing. So Euro, RSCG Worldwide did the obvious thing. They called a hypnotist. Okay, you say, what? Members of these unique Volvo focus groups were asked to test drive the car. Immediately afterwards, they were hypnotized and asked their true feelings about the brand. It wasn't pretty. Many revealed that Volvo also equals being middle-aged. That idea for some people was suffocating, says Michael Fanuel, head of planning at Euro. Hypnosis helped get past the cliches. We needed the conversion to get a deeper, more emotional place. Get to a deeper, more emotional place. So Volvo is not the only one going to that place. Focus group hypnosis is increasingly becoming a secret weapon for Fortune 500 companies. So the session, consisting of no more than 8 subjects, takes 2 hours. Wonder if they feed them. The first 25 minutes dedicated to introducing them to the process, then getting them relaxed. We need to ease the nervousness of what they've seen on TV. Everyone asked if we're going to make them quack like a duck. Once they're in the alpha state of relaxation, the hypnotist will ask them individually about topics like the first time they experienced a product. Isn't that interesting? So
it
now
really
we
is.
Have to hypnotize a focus group. Oh, God, why don't you just go ahead and drug them, put the truth serum.
You know, it's interesting because when you first led into that story and mentioned how you and I are not big fans of focus groups, I thought, we better explain that. And I think you just did a great job. You know, it's all about the fact that, I mean, you got to hypnotize these participants to get the truth out of them. Focus groups are such an old school way of doing research because you tend to not get the kind of information that's really usable because they tend to tell you what they think you want to hear and they take the lead of some stronger personalities.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why focus groups are just, you know, not worth the time and effort that a lot of companies still today put into them. But, you know, here you go explaining that, Ray. Mm-hmm. You got to hypnotize these people to get the truth out of them. Isn't that interesting?
It gets hysterical. And if you got to do a focus group, go the hypnotized way because that's probably the best way, okay? And I wonder if you still have to feed them.
But well, no, that's part of the hypnotism.
You
tell them that
you are
not
hungry. Yes, you are full. You'll wake up feeling full and refreshed, and you'll want to buy a Volvo.
You'll be drunk because you're drinking while you're eating lunch, wine, beer.
I wonder what Jay Sears would have to say about that. Jay is a Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, also creator of ASDAQ. That's with a Q, ADSDAQ, Online Advertising Exchange. Jay, prior to joining Context, Jay was Senior Vice President of Business and Strategy Development for Edgar Online. From 97 to 04, where he drove the strategy that took the company from under a million entrepreneurial businesses to a publicly traded NASDAQ company. Another acronym with a Q. So anyway, we have Jay coming up here in just a couple of moments out of New York with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. We're almost to the segment here with Patrick Meyer. Why don't we take a break, if that's okay with you, Brad, and learn a little bit more about Martha Stewart.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about Martha Stewart. Yes, Martha Stewart, part two. Let me tell you, she's back on the run and doing well. I want to share with you a couple things that you could build into what you do that she's doing. Number one, she's got a brand new product line that's all about crafts, and she sets a higher bar than most people. Her relentless focus on quality, in touch with what's going on style-wise and color-wise, and also creating new styles, daring to go out and zig when everybody else is hacking. The second thing about Martha is that she's really smart in the way she engages people. She designed her whole product line on her own, but with a whole host of experts that will endorse it, spin it, plug it, etc. By having craft weeks and inviting people to send in their craft ideas, she's really good at mapping out seasonality and the passion points of her target audience. Back to school, weddings, gifts, holidays. Let me step back and give you the things that I see in Martha that you could do as an advertising and marketing professional. Set your bar high, really high. Believe in what you're doing and never drop down to B level. Always keep it at an A plus. Second, create ideas and serve them up to people, involve people in them, but make them so delicious and also so proprietary where everybody feels that they're part of it. Third, link them to their passion points so you pulse into their world and you're always relevant and always topical. And the last piece about Martha is that she knows what she's about. So be true to what your brand or your advertising are all about, as she has.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net. Or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Thank you, Patrick, on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. And Jay Sears coming up here momentarily, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and creator of AdStack, Online Advertising Exchange. We'll learn a lot more about that, and Jay as well here, as we continue with The Advertising Show. What are you holding there? What is that?
Well, you know, Mitsubishi will, if you haven't heard, put its advertising account into review as its lead agency of 3 years, Los Angeles-based BBDO West, will not take part. BBDO and Mitsubishi are at the end of a 3-year agreement. The review is expected to end June 30th. The agency was aware that Mitsubishi would be issuing an RFP at the end of the contract, and it chose not to participate, according to our friend Roy Elbove at BBDO New York. So, you remember Mitsubishi? I guess it was Deutsch that really put Mitsubishi on the map with that spot they did where the girl was dancing within the vehicle. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And then BBDO had it for a while, and now they don't want to participate. So interesting. Huh. We'll see what happens next year.
I had a thing here. I can't find it momentarily. About Hal Reiney. Passing away this past week. So we lost a great guy there. Hal was, what was it, the Ocean Spray Cranberry Guys, and a whole bunch of other great stuff as well. So Hal passing away, I think it was out in California, if I'm not mistaken.
San Francisco, yeah.
San Francisco, okay. Mm-hmm. Good. This is Tiger. Tiger's, you know, I actually saw Tiger show up at this was at the Doral event, the golf thing, in a Buick. He was somebody else was driving, but doggone if they didn't shoot him getting out of the car, and they just had enough footage there and enough angle width to capture the Buick logo. It's like, oh my god! Hmm.
So they should have had him driving, shouldn't they?
No, not Tiger. He doesn't want to drive. He's got to get relaxed. But basically, he is now doing some stuff for Gatorade. He is reenacting the famous Apollo golf shot on the moon. That was the one that Alan Shepard did. And I had a chance to meet Alan Shepard one time here in Houston, and we talked about that. That was cool. Alan was an avid golfer. But Wood's authentic prowess has often been described as being out of this world, and now Gatorade will literally translate the phrase in the marketing campaign to support the launch of its Gatorade Tiger line. It would break a TV spot, on CBS. Woods, dressed as an astronaut, takes his game to the moon. The spot, Gatorade Tiger Moonshot, followed by a related sweepstakes promotion, Out of This World, upcoming next month in April. So I actually saw some of the stuff from that. It was pretty cool. We've got to take a break here.
A moonshot was something different than our youth, Ray.
That's true, and I don't think he did one of those. We'll be back with Jay Sears in a minute on The Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
I love Bosco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate-flavored Bosco is mighty good for me.
Well, hi there. It's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Our special guest today out of New York is Jay Sears, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development at Context Web, also creator of ADSDAQ, that's ADSDAQ, Online Advertising Exchange. Jay, a sincere pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Ray and Brad, thanks for having Context Web and the ADSDAQ Exchange on the show.
Well, our pleasure. We've talked about you guys from time to time over the years, and great to have somebody from the company to represent your organization. I want to dig into ADSDAQ and the success you guys have had recently and just kind of share with our audience what you guys are all about. So why don't we begin, and I'll give you plenty of time to do that. But let's start by, for our listeners that may not understand the difference between an ad network and an ad exchange, clarify that for us, if you would, please.
Yeah, sure. So it's actually quite different, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but one of the words you're going to hear a lot this year is what we like to call the P word, which is P for platform. And a lot of people are investing a lot of money to create platforms, and an exchange is a type of platform and very different than an ad network. When we looked at creating our own ad exchange, we actually studied the ad network model. And what we found is there are different flavors of ad network models, but if you look at the different flavors, typically, whatever they are, have a bias, and a bias towards the publisher or a bias towards the advertiser. And that tends to upset the apple cart. And in short, and we can go into it if you guys want, but it tends to turn the ad network space into a space for remnant inventory, and inventory people typically don't want, non-premium inventory, and that has kind of cascading effects in that market.
So there's no premium, just for a second, let's stay with ad networks for a moment. So there's no premium advertising availability with ad networks traditionally, or just across the board?
Well, if you look at the traditional ad network model, it's a revenue share model, which means if I'm operating a ad network, my promise to you as a seller, as a publisher, is I'm going to give you 50% or 75% of what I make. It's irrelevant what the percentage is. But it's 50% or 70% of what, right? And 70% of whatever is, of course, whatever. And when that's the proposition to you as a seller, what happens is you only put in your remnant inventory. And if you only put your remnant inventory into an ad network, then that's what the advertiser experiences. Their performance is diminished. They're willing to pay less, and you're quickly on a downward spiral. And so one of the things and one of the ways that we define an ad exchange is it's where buyer and seller both have control. And they have a lot of controls, but the primary control that buyer and seller both have on the ADSDAQ exchange is pricing control. So, you know, buyers have always set price. Really, there's nothing too new there. But by virtue of the fact of letting publishers set the CPM rate that they want to offer their inventory on the exchange, you, by doing that and a couple other things that we do in particular on ADSDAQ, change the dynamic. And by giving the publisher pricing control, then the exchange can become a clearinghouse for premium inventory before it goes off into those remnant pools.
So do you guys give publishers guidance on CPM rates, or is it sometimes where a publisher believes his CPM rate is higher than what it really is and therefore gets no takers and begins to adjust downwardly? How does that work?
Yeah, so you pretty much nailed it. So on the seller side, on the publisher side, they can set whatever price they want. Both through our full-service team that deals with the very largest publishers online and through our self-service application where smaller or mid-sized publishers can be in and out in 5 minutes and be selling ads on the exchange, we will give publishers guidance in terms of what advertisers are looking for on the platform, and they can set whatever price they want, and then we'll give them some guidance in terms of how much of their inventory they might expect to clear at that price. And mm-hmm. if they're happy with that clearance rate, they can continue or they can modify the price that they want to offer the inventory and see if they can, clear more or less. And, of course, what they can also do is if they have multiple sites or multiple spots within their site, they can create multiple ad tags associate different prices with those tags. So, again, for us, it's about operating a platform, giving control to buyers and sellers, and doing our best to kind of get out of the way.
Yeah, so give us a little background here. How is it that Context Web came to create AdStack?
Yeah, so you have to go back and initially we created a technology, which we still use today. It's an important governor of the AdStack Exchange, and it's a real-time contextual engine. And what that does, in plain English, is on the fly, in about 20 milliseconds, so very, very fast, it travels with our ad tags when a publisher puts those tags on the site, and on the fly will sense the content on a particular publisher page. And then we use that information and the technology comes back and tells us, hey, this ad is sitting on a page about entertainment or finance or health or even something more specific. It might say it's about movies or mutual funds or diabetes. And once we have that information, we can use that information to either deliver content adjacency to the advertiser or to make certain optimization decisions and associate creative with content types that perform in the way the advertiser is looking for. So we initially really became known to the market when we started our media business in early 2005. And we're really known as a contextual advertising company. But from the very beginning, after studying the ad network model, realized that we could basically build a better business and solve a better business problem for the advertiser by creating the exchange that we operate today and by allowing that pricing and other types of controls.
Yeah, the contextual engine technology that you were describing, is that patented? Is that your intellectual property, or is that
just... it's patent pending and was actually created back in 2000, so a number of years before we actually started the media business in 2005.
There you go, smart.
Gotcha.
Jay Sears, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and the creator of AdStack, online advertising exchange. That would be AdStack.com. Is that correct, Jay?
Correct.
Okay, very good. TheAdvertisingShow.com, powered by Shipul. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L, by the way, and an incredibly powerful marketing tool called Tendency. Check it out at Shipul.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and Jay Sears out of New York. We've got more with Jay here in just a moment. Hope you stick around.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab.
On the advertising show, Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and out of New York, our special guest is Jay Sears, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and creator of ADSDAQ. That's ADSDAQ, Online Advertising Exchange. Jay, is a pleasure to have you here. Welcome back.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, before we talk a little bit about some examples of who are using the services of ADSDAQ, and I want to get into that in a second, in the wake of the, I'll call it a warning that publishers should not sell web ads like Pork Bellies issued last month by Martha Stewart, Living Omnimedia President Wendy Harris Millard. In an interview, Millard worries that we haven't even established the value of the medium yet, and all of a sudden it's all about price, and it's been very bothersome to people who are brand stewards that it's coming down to a pricing issue. Your reaction to this quote?
Well, we think Wend is absolutely right. She made this comment at the IAB annual meeting, the Interactive Advertising Bureau annual meeting, about 3 weeks ago. And in fact, Wend is on our board of directors. And I think the reason why she's on our board is she saw that we were doing things differently and creating an exchange, an ad exchange environment that was really about premium inventory and about control in creating a brand-safe environment for the advertiser.
Well, let's talk. I guess the brand safe environment is we're back now to the control factor that you described earlier.
Yes.
Give us a sense of who's using the services at ADSDAQ, both on the buy side and sell side, if you would please, Jay.
Yeah, sure. And what also might help is, if I describe kind of the business problem that I think, we're solving for the advertiser, too. That's kind of a good lead into who's using the exchange. And the business problem we're solving at the ADSDAQ exchange is a problem around media fragmentation and user fragmentation. So if you look at the trending over the last couple years for portals, places like Yahoo or AOL, is the number of users on those sites is in decline, right? So if you look at a three-year period, 2004 to 2007, the page views on those portals is down almost 20%, right? Which means that the users and the people the advertiser wants to reach, they're going elsewhere. And part of where they're going is to middle and small size web publishers, right? Because there's a proliferation of web publishing today. There's a statistic from a company called Technorati that tracks the blogosphere that 120,000 new blogs get created every single day, right? So the question is, if your customers are out in the long tail and they're across all these content sites being created in the thousands, how can you efficiently, one, create a media plan against that has some scale, and two, do it in a way that gives the advertiser control and gives them some comfort level that their brand and the creative that you're putting out there for them is going to be protected. So you ask about buyers and sellers, and the vast majority of buyers in our ad exchange are the big brands that we service through the leading agencies. So agencies like Avenue A or Starcom or the Omnicom agencies, the WPP agencies like Beyond Interaction and the rest of the Group M agencies.
And as far as the advertisers, just agency business? You don't deal with the small to mid-size advertisers out there?
We've grown our business primarily in the last 3 years with the large branded advertisers through the agencies. Mm-hmm. One way this is changing a little bit towards the end of second quarter of this year is we will be introducing a self-service application for the smaller or middle market advertiser market. And so What was previously really just in our exchange, the domain of the large agencies and their advertiser clients, now the exchange will be accessible to the smaller or middle market.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to, next segment, talk about a recent announcement you guys made about the ADSDAC Exchange Agency Trading Desk System that you've recently launched in beta. And it's along the lines of dealing with a lot of those agencies that you've mentioned earlier. But what do we have, Ray? About a minute left here?
Yeah, a little bit less than a minute, exactly.
Well, in less than a minute, why don't you give us a sense of who your competition is out there?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the other exchanges in the market, so Yahoo bought an exchange last year called Right Media. They bought it for about $800 million. Microsoft is incubating an exchange called AdECN, which they bought for under $100 million, which I think you'll hear a little more about over the summer. And then DoubleClick, the purchase that was just closed by Google about 2 weeks ago, operates an exchange just called the DoubleClick Exchange. And so all those guys are in the exchange market, but typically they're running exchanges that are more spot market. So what that means is it's a little bit more how you would buy search. So it's a bidded market versus ADSDAC, which is a futures market, which guarantees delivery of the advertising that that you buy.
Jay Sears, so our special guest here on the Advertising Show, is Ray Schillensbred Forsyth, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and creator of ADSDAC, Online Advertising Exchange. Brad, we got more with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth and Jay Sears here in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
When cold and stress is getting down, just call on Promo Quinine.
And you're on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth out of New York. Jay Sears is with us this weekend, Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and creator of ADSDAC, Online Advertising Exchange. ContextWeb.com and ADSDAC.com as well to find out more. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jay, share with us a little about the new ADSDAC Exchange Agency Trading Desk System that you guys have going on right now. Who's participating? What do they gain by getting access to your beta, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So for the past 3.5 years, one of the things we've been doing for our advertiser clients is taking their offers and running them on our exchange and associating performance with context, and not only providing a media solution to the advertiser, but also giving them some market insight about where their offers work and against what type of content their offers work. But we have only done that to date really inside our ad exchange. So in order to get that insight, you really have to buy on the ADSDAC exchange. Now, the agency trading desk, the idea there is we've gone out to six agencies. It's a private invitation-only beta, And the ones participating include WPP and some of the Omnicom agencies. And what we're allowing them to do is taking that same insight we've given our clients for 3.5 years inside our exchange and allowing them that insight across their entire media spend. So they can start to see within an existing placement, so say a run of Portal on Yahoo, are across their campaign. So maybe they're buying on Yahoo and advertising.com and CNN.com. And inside a placement or across the campaign, they can start to associate context with performance and understand that if they have an offer and it runs against entertainment pages, it performs maybe in a way that meets their metrics. But maybe that same offer, when it runs about pages about politics, it does not meet their metrics. And then with that insight, what they can start to do is buy more of the content that works for them, in my example, entertainment pages, and offer for sale the content that's not working for their advertiser. So in my example, the pages that have political content.
So we have many listeners at Madison Avenue, work for major agencies, and certainly have had guests on from WPP and Omnicom agencies as well. And I'm curious, is this a closed beta at this point? Let's say someone's out there and they haven't been invited. Are you still open to a few majors that maybe haven't been offered yet?
Well, it is. It's currently closed, but we do have a lot of inbound inquiries coming in, especially since we made the announcement last week, and there was a big write up in the Wall Street Journal on it, and a couple other places. So we're definitely as we start to open things up, as we go into the summer, we will be pulling additional folks into the fold. So what we would say is, if people are interested, they should go ahead and contact us directly, and obviously when we start to kind of roll this out, you know, our preference is to go to people that have indicated an interest.
So is this your trading desk system, Asdaq's answer to Google and others who've talked about developing a dashboard?
Well, we actually think it's quite different than a dashboard, because a lot of other people are offering dashboards or any type of analytical platforms. And what's different here is the Adstack Exchange Agency Trading Desk is both giving you the insight, and in our case, the insight is associate context with performance, but also making it actionable, right? So that's the second step that's missing in a lot of dashboards, right? So what you get from a lot of other dashboards is, hey, it doesn't work. Now what are you supposed to do?
Right.
And
yeah,
the whole idea of the Adstack Exchange Agency Trading Desk is, hey, this piece doesn't work. Offer it for sale. This piece works. How would you like some more of that?
Sweet.
And really start to make it actionable and, you know, do some of the things that, that you know, a lot of leaders in the space are talking about, which is really allow agencies to trade.
Sounds like a real logical and powerful plan, Jay, and it's Asdaq Online Advertising Exchange, asdaq.com, and also check out contextweb.com as well. Jay, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today, and our continued wish for good success for your company as well.
Well, Brad and Ray, thank you so much for having us, and we will see you real soon.
You got it. On the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Another segment to come up. Well, that's coming up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Today's your group day.
Today you've got a running start. You're a man who feels the part.
It's your lucky.
Again, thanks to Jay Sears, our guest out of New York this weekend on The Advertising Show, Senior Vice President. Well, actually, he has a different title. Hold on. I turned the
he
page.
He does?
Yes.
Let's give him
Senior
a
Senior VP, Strategic Products and Business Development, Context Web, and creator of Adstack, Online Advertising Exchange. Kind of like NASDAQ, but it's Adstack. Okay, so check it out, adstack.com.
Yeah.
Next week we have, by the way, Dennis Hahn, who is CEO of ID Branding. Dennis is in beautiful Portland, Oregon, and we'll be talking to him as we get into a brand new month already. My gosh, it's going to be April already. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Bring your umbrella.
For Portland, no doubt about it. Hey, there's something cool here out of the New York Times this weekend. Toyota has something cool. Likes to think of its quirky, boxy Scion as a 21st century chariot of the soul. Not just an affordable car, but also a unique expression of the young, hip person who Toyota hopes is driving it. Well, Toyota has had a little bit of success becoming an incredible car company here in the United States. Now the Toyota Scion enthusiast will have even more me time, a marketing campaign with an underground vibe that is intended to show just how much their chosen transportation reflects their very own personality. Here's the scoop, Brad. Yep, really. With an eye to the social networking ethos that has made Facebook and MySpace widely popular, Toyota will let Scion owners design their own personal coat of arms online, a piece of owner-generated art that is meant to reflect their job, hobbies, and karma. Okay? In making the personalized crest, Scion owners can choose from among hundreds of symbols, all designed by a professional graffiti artist. That's an oxymoron. The symbols range from an eagle, a jester, a king's crown, and a worker's fist, to a Japanese anime-style flowers, a three-person family, and a yin-yang circle. Customers can download their designs, have them made into window decals, or take them to an auto airbrushing shop to have them professionally painted onto their car, and hopefully that's a Scion. So that's kind of a cool idea. I really do like this Scion. It's kind of an ugly car, but it's kind of cool too.
You know, when they first came out with that, Ray, we talked about how Toyota had misjudged the market. They thought it was going to be all young people, and what they found, and I think you're saying this, is that it's a certain type of individual, not by age, but by psychographic, if you will. And they were trying to target, I think, an 18 to 24 or whatever, and they found that the market's much older or broader, I should say, than what they originally had thought. So true, you can say that it's going to appeal to a particular type of individual, but they missed the mark in thinking that it was all going to be young adults.
It's kind of neat. I like it. Gina Bliss is with us, the customer experience. We're going to shut up for just a moment and do some drastic listening. Let's do that.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
There's no simpler way to improve your customer experience than having executives and others through your company call customers who left you and practice drastic listening. Companies who are making traction with this action keep it simple. They provide people with 5 to 10 customers per month to call, and that's all it usually takes. They are finding that there is more power in 20 minutes of listening to a customer who has taken their business away from them than any 5 customer satisfaction survey report meetings where, by the way, our eyes start to roll into the back of our heads after too much data. They're following up this drastic listening with the work to categorize the issues, which are now taken personally and understood at a basic human level. And they are getting traction because the execs rally to make the customer pain go away. The fact that these are the issues driving most customers away is tied to ROI, which connects everything very neatly and makes the work powerful, simple, and attainable. At last!
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene Bliss, it is always a pleasure here at the Advertising Show. Don't forget, we've got Dennis Hahn coming up next week, CEO of ID Branding. What do you have there, Brad?
Well, you know, the Justice Department this past week helped us, as in me and you, make a prediction here on the Advertising Show some 5 years ago come true by approving the merger of satellite radio companies XM and Sirius. So, you know, hopefully they'll do better as one than competing as two.
I don't know why they need to merge. I kind of like the competition, but that's okay. A lot of interesting people work in that venue now that have been in radio in the past, and there's a lot of good material out there. And it's given radio a run for its money, obviously. So best of luck as they get together. And hope they all get together and are comfy and happy and all that kind of stuff. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We've got next week, as I said, Dennis Hahn, CEO of ID Branding. with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget to investigate the website throughout the week. There's a lot of good stuff here at theadvertisingshow.com that you'll be able to take advantage of and share it with a friend. And tell a friend, too. Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.